Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 61 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I am Lou. And as in previous episodes, the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast is brought to you by MenuMinder. MenuMinder lets you find exactly what you're in the mood to eat or drink. MenuMinder, find food for your mood. What's going on, Tony?
Nothing.
Yeah. How you doing over there? You have any mail from people?
Because I
haven't seen anything.
I have a little.
I'm wondering what's going on. My mailbox feels very lonely lately.
Well, it's not empty, so.
Well, that's good.
So that's good. Got a couple things. First of all, Dorian sent me a message. He wants us to talk about Kick-Ass because he saw it and loved it. And,
really?
Yeah, but as you'll all hear later, neither of us have seen a movie this week.
No.
A little busy week.
Yeah.
But we're still going to, the show must go on.
The show must go on. So we'll talk about other stuff related to movies, even though we haven't seen anything.
Right. But I will try and see that this week.
That's yeah, I want to see that. I do want to see that. And we'll talk about some other stuff when we get to movies.
But I have some other mail.
Did he say anything specific about it or just that he loved it and wanted to
know? Just that he loved it.
Yeah.
Okay. He may have used an expletive somewhere in there.
Ooh. Wow.
Like he effing loved it or something.
Really? Yeah. Really? All right. You kiddies, also, just forget what you heard Uncle Tony say just now.
Stritch sent us a couple messages. First of all, I want to thank the few people that sent their condolences. Thank you. And Stritch had a question, but then he tried to pull the question back, but I'm going to read the question anyway.
Oh, boy.
He tried to pull it back by saying, ignore my previous question, sniffing too much glue that day. But you know what, Stritch? You posted it. I'm reading it. His question is, he wants to know if he should pick up another 360. His last one red ringed, and he said he'd never get another, but it seems as though he's missing out on a lot of great games. Any suggestions?
Ooh.
I don't know what I would do if mine red ringed right now. I mean, I would probably get another one just because I'm kind of a completist, but I don't use it that often.
Yeah, you're very Mr. PS3 now, aren't you?
I am very PS3.
See, and I don't use either because we have the 360 and the Wii, and I don't use either one of them that much just because I just don't have time.
Right.
You know, and so.
And you're computing.
Right.
Is your
I prefer to play games on the PC rather than on a console.
I also want to say, I mean, I'm going to use this as a segue into. So I don't really have an answer for you, Stritch. I don't know if I would. I probably would. So I had it, but I don't know if I were to not get it, if I would necessarily miss it all that much.
If you were to. Excuse me. I don't know what's going on. There's like some major amphibious activity. I got frogs. I wouldn't miss it just because I rarely ever use it. But I don't know. Yeah. I see. The other thing too is I don't really keep up on the console games. I mean, that's kind of your job around here.
Wow.
So as much as I probably should. So I don't know what games are on the 360 that you can't get anywhere else, you know, that are really kind of killer.
Well, you know, I don't have it on our list here, but let me segue into a couple 360 things. I got from Gamefly the other day, Halo 3 ODST. I think that's it.
Yeah.
And it's
kind of
fun.
Isn't that the one that everyone said, is that the one that I'm thinking
that's
of?
That's the
that
most
everyone said
one.
That you could play in like 4 or 5 hours and you're done.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe I'm thinking about an hour and a half. But
it's been fun. But I don't see, you know, there's so many, and I even have a story about it, there's so many Halo fanboys that just think it is the end all be all for shooters. And I don't see it. I mean, it's entertaining, but I certainly think that there are much better shooters out there.
Yeah.
And I've always thought that. I mean, I played Halo 2. I played the original.
You played the
Halo.
Original, yeah.
I played the original for
about 15 minutes, and I sucked at it so badly that I never played it again, and I've never played any of the other ones.
I finished the first one. That's the only one I finished. But it's fun, but it's not, you know, there's better shooters out there, I think.
Like, and, what's one that you would think
course,
is
better? Well, of course,
Half-Life. Right.
I mean, the two aren't even comparable
Do you think that most people who are FPS fanboys in general consider Half-Life to be one? I mean, I know it is, but
why? Because of the driving and that?
Yeah, I mean, there's other stuff, and I mean, not having played Halo or a lot of these other games, I don't know how much story there is in Halo, for instance, compared to.
I mean, I would even consider, even though it's got RPG elements, I would even consider if I had to pick between calling it an RPG or a first-person shooter.
Borderlands.
I would even call Borderlands a first-person shooter.
Yeah,
and that would be another one that I think is.
Way
heads and tails above Halo. I also I tried out the Xbox Live Game Room.
Okay.
I don't know about that either.
Really?
First of all, it took me forever to find it. I mean, I had to go through. It's you can't just go on, like, you know, the game marketplace and it just shows up right away. I had to go through all the, like, what's new and then find the screen and download it. And then you have to download these packs in order for the games to show up. And it's not as fluid or intuitive as you would think to find it.
Yeah. I kind of find that in general on the 360.
Yeah,
like I never know which thing to go on and, you know, which section, you know, to scroll to and then which how far down to the right to go. I always have trouble finding
stuff.
But
I have to say
that.
In their defense, I would say it's a little easier than the marketplace in the PlayStation Network.
Oh, really?
Cuz that, like, to find something that's new or to find something specific, you have to jump through some hoops there too.
Yeah. That seems really weird. And, you know, that's one of the problems.
I'm surprised that no one's found a fluid, easy way. I mean, I would say Xbox is easier, but to find this thing was hard.
Yeah.
But then once I got in it, first of all, there aren't that many games available. I mean, yeah, there are, like, the Atari 2600 games and the television games. I'm not going to play any of those.
Right.
I mean, we've come too far for me to go back to that.
Right. You don't want to play an old console on a new console. Well, it's one thing to play an arcade game.
I mean, even then, it was barely fun.
Yeah. Some games I might go back and play. Like, I've actually gone back and played emulator versions of, like, I think I remember I showed you that Montezuma's Revenge.
Right.
And what was the other one called that was sort of
But
like
even
that.
That was a generation above 2600. That wasn't 2600. That was, like, ColecoVision, wasn't
right.
it?
Right, yeah.
But so I played a couple of the arcade games. I mean, when you first log in and download it and everything, it gives you like 20 free tokens. So you get to try some games. And you also get to demo the games too.
Right.
So I played Tutankham and Crystal Castles.
Gosh, I love Tutankham.
And very hard to play with the controller.
Well, Crystal Castles, I'm sure.
Oh my God.
That'd be
I died
impossible.
Immediately. I mean, I tried it a couple times too. Tutankham too. I died immediately. I mean, I'm like, have I become this bad? I'm like, so.
No, it's the controls. I mean, don't forget, you're trying to play a game that had because Tutankham had a two-way joystick.
Right.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
Wait, was it two-way or four-way?
Two-way, because you can't shoot up and down. You can only shoot left and right. Or at least that's the way it is on the console.
Oh, right.
Now.
So you
and
could
it's
move.
The same game.
It had a four-direction joystick for moving and then a two-direction joystick for shooting, right? And they were probably, you know, locked. I mean, obviously they were locked to those two positions. The firing one only moved left and right.
Right.
But the up and down one only had four registers. You know, it was up, down, left, and right. Whereas you're trying to play with an analog joystick.
Right.
It's so much harder.
It is. And I didn't get very far with that either. And I have to say, you know, of course, these are the original games. So the graphics, you know, I'm not going to go on about the graphics.
Right.
I mean, obviously.
They are what they are.
Yeah. But
you know what,
I didn't get any enjoyment out of it.
You know what? Well, it's because they're too frustrating to play that way.
Right. I mean, I'm sure once more games become available, there'll be some games that I do want to play.
You know what I would like to see? I would like to see one of those companies that makes the cool, like, big, heavy arcade controller panels for like they were making for the MAME. Uh-huh. I'd like to see one of them come out with a wireless controller for the 360 so that you could play all those games with the same controls that you played them with in the arcade. Because I guarantee you they'd be a lot more fun if you could use the original type controllers.
I agree.
It's just you can't play some of those kind of games. I mean, even a game like Pac-Man would be so hard to play with an analog joystick.
I agree. I have to look for something. So
okay,
I'm not prepared for this.
Should
next
I go about my business? I mean, what do you want me to do here? I got nothing. I haven't even played anything new.
Nothing, huh?
No.
Well, then I'll move on, and then I'm just looking for the price of this game. I found a new game on iPhone that I love.
Yeah.
It's called Bird Strike.
Okay.
And it's similar in fashion to Doodle Jump, where your goal is just to keep going higher.
Okay.
And, you know, it keeps progressing. But here you're a bird, and you're trying to avoid obstacles, and the way you get higher is to get these rockets or, like, jet suits and that.
So it's like real birds.
Right. But it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And it's I'm trying to find out the price of it.
Is there a demo?
There is a demo.
Free demo.
There is
a demo. I like free demos.
And there's two modes. There's puzzle mode, which now they've just changed to world tour mode. So each level is a different country or something, so it's got a different backdrop. But the music is great. The graphics are great.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of fun. It's like platforming type.
Right. Right.
And but I highly recommend it, especially if you like Doodle Jump. It's like, you know, It's like take and doodle jump one step further, but yeah, same right. concept.
Yeah.
And then the endless mode, you just try to get as high as possible. And it's another open feint game, so there are achievements, and then
that's
you can
cool.
see what your friends, although I don't have any friends on it, so I, you know.
Yeah.
You can challenge your friends, you can post to Facebook, you know, all that.
So if any of you want to be Tony's friends, he just admitted publicly on the podcast that he has no friends.
But I have made a couple friends on 360 and PS3.
Yeah, through the podcast, you mean?
Through the podcast, yeah. Bird Strike is only 99 cents, which...
Well, that's a bargain.
I thought I paid more than that, but only 99 cents. Well worth...
Maybe they lowered the price after you bought it.
Well worth the dollar. You're
like, all right, we made our development money back from Tony.
So if anyone tries this and likes it or doesn't like it, let us know.
I'll try it later.
Yeah.
Cause
a lot of fun.
I you know, I don't really enjoy gaming on the iPhone that much. I'll go off about that later, but...
And I'll talk about gaming on the iPad later.
Oh, God.
I didn't get one, but I played with
you
one.
You want one now, don't you?
I do want one.
Oh, no.
I played with one yesterday for the first time.
Oh, no.
We'll talk about that later. Do you have any iPad things?
I haven't heard you say that in like 20 years.
What?
I haven't... Never mind. I played with one yesterday for the first time.
That would have made me 22.
I don't know what that means. It just seemed funny.
Let's move on to miscellaneous.
Okay,
shall
let's.
We?
Let's.
PopCap is celebrating Bejeweled's 10th anniversary with a contest for its fans. Participants must submit a YouTube video illustrating or describing their affinity for Bejeweled in 2 minutes or less. The prizes awarded to the top 10 entries will include a notebook, notebook PC and an iPad, both with Bejeweled 10th anniversary engravings.
Now, let's clarify for our listeners. This is your love for Bejeweled and not for the Bedazzler. We don't want to see sequined and rhinestone t-shirts.
But if you could somehow meld the two.
Right, then you probably
you got a
get
winner.
Bonus points.
You've yeah. got a winner.
How could you not? How could right. you lose that way? Wow, I want to do something. I want to win. I wonder if I'd be disqualified.
Probably.
Oh, that's not fair.
But I wouldn't. They have no record of me. Well, they probably would.
They probably would.
Association
yeah.
with you.
Exactly.
See, again.
You're guilty
knowing
by
you,
association.
Knowing
has
you,
ruined your life.
It has ruined my life. Add Mr. Freeze and Talia al Ghul, daughter of Ra's al Ghul, to the cast of new characters set to appear in the Batman Arkham Asylum sequel.
Really?
Yeah. So Mr. Freeze with all his little puns and...
Wow. Does he make, I mean, does that character...
Well, he did in the movie.
Right,
the
right, right.
Show.
But I mean, is the character like that in the comic books?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Wait, what's Ra's al Ghul's daughter's name?
Talia al Ghul.
Do we know who's playing them yet? Either one?
You mean voicing them?
Oh, game. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Video
I'm
game.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry.
We are in the video game section.
I was all confused.
Oh, I would
up.
Hate if they brought Mr. Freeze to the next movie.
Well, that's why I was confused. I don't know.
Let's bring Schwarzenegger back.
He's
Freeze.
Almost out of office. I wonder if that rumor is still true, though, that they're going to start filming True Lies 2 the day after he's out of office.
I don't know. Well, you know, Tom Arnold will be too busy making the Battleship movie.
He's only got one line, though, so he should be able to film that pretty quickly.
Which is, you suck my battleship! There you go. There's your layup.
Yeah, you.
The Wii console will now come in a sleek, shiny black model starting next month.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Would you have preferred that one?
Yeah, I probably would have. Because it's the only...
For the console that you're not playing?
Exactly.
How many times do you think you've actually powered that thing up?
About three or four.
And you've had it, what, 2 years? Yeah, it was
over. No, over a year, but not 2 years.
Right. You got it for not this past Christmas, but the Christmas
right.
before. Right.
So like a year and a half.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a gift for my mom so that we could play, you know, little kid games with our son, but he's still a little too young for
right.
that.
Oh, so you'll use it.
He was 6 months old when she gave it
right.
to us.
No, but I'm saying you will.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Use
we'll use it when he's a little older.
The Sims 3 is making the jump to just about every console this fall. Expect a version for Xbox 360, PS3, Wii, and the Nintendo DS.
Can we expect a version that's actually fun?
It says nothing about that, but they do, now they're starting to do with games, you know, developers are kind of, you know, they're not big fans of GameStop or Game Crazy or any of those that sell used games because, you know, they're not getting
what
money
do they care?
That.
They already made their money off the title.
Yeah, but then they could make their money twice rather than someone buying it used.
Oh, well.
So now this is going to be one of the first games where you'll have a code. Each game will have a code, and you put the code in.
Oh, so like PC games.
Right. And so...
So you'll have to have a connected system in order to play it.
Well, not to play it. No, just to get extra features. I mean, because I don't think they can do that. But the extra feature here is that you can...
Well, they could. Why couldn't they do that? They say it requires online play, you know, or whatever. It requires online access.
I don't know. I don't know what the laws and rules are regarding
I don't think it's laws.
But, I mean, that would be pretty crappy to do. Like,
why? They do that with PC games. You have to register them, and once you register it, nobody else can play it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to use your key. Key code.
I don't see that happening anytime soon. But the only functionality that you're getting then by being the original owner is that you can, through the game, you can post stuff to Facebook or Twitter.
So. Ah, that's so, a huge selling point, right. I'm sure. Who cares?
I know. 2 weeks ago was the date. This is a neat story. 2 weeks ago was the date that Microsoft was to discontinue Halo 2's online play for the original Xbox. But 14 diehard gamers refused to let it die by staying logged on and prolonging the game's goodbye indefinitely.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that awesome?
Well, isn't it just going to time out at some point?
Well, I'm sure they keep coming back and playing it, but they're not like logging off because they know if everyone logs off,
that's it.
It's done.
That's pretty funny.
That is pretty funny.
I wonder
funny.
How long they can keep it going.
I don't know.
There's no reason for Microsoft to shut it off. But with them doing this, it's only good publicity for them.
Right.
You know?
So, but that game came out years ago. I mean, before the 360 came out.
Yeah. Wow.
So, that's interesting.
That is funny.
But that's all I have.
All right. Then we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about TV, a.k.a. television, a.k.a. the boob tube, which, you know, you can't really call it anymore because there's no more tubes.
No. Now but it's there are more boobs on TV, so.
So it kind of makes up for it. You think there are more boobs on TV now than there used to be TVs in general? It could be with all the reality
can't
TV.
Can't wrap my head around that.
Plus, you know, you got to figure for every possible boob edition, you know, there's two of them. Unless you're watching Total Recall, and then there's three of them.
Right.
So, you know, it could be a wash. You never know. And with that inanity out of the way, inanity, whatever.
You're on your own.
Triviality. So what do you want to start talking about first?
Let's start with Lost.
Okay, Lost was not on this week.
No, but we did not talk about last week.
No. Okay, so go ahead.
I like where Lost is going.
Yeah.
And we talked a little about it at lunch yesterday. But I have a new theory.
Okay.
First,
since
let's
I talked to you, or is this the one you told
no,
me?
No, the okay. one I told you yesterday. Okay. Let's talk about the episode, first of all.
Sure.
And it's been a while, so we can give spoilers, I think.
Yeah. Everyone who's...
So last week... My mind just drew a blank. Last week was the whole episode where... Help me out here.
They were on an island.
But then for another half of the show, they were not on an island.
They were not on an island. It was the episode. Well, there was a lot of stuff going on.
Right. That's why it's hard to describe.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like a single storyline like some of the other ones have been. You see all these different scenes of bunches of different characters on both the island and in the alternate reality. So for instance, like you see Ben riding with Locke in the ambulance to the hospital, and then meanwhile you see some other stuff going on where he's trying, everyone's back together now.
Right.
And Jin and Sun have reconnected, and now, you know, he wants everyone to go to take over the plane so that they can leave the island. Meanwhile, Sawyer convinces Jack to get everyone else to meet him so they can go on a boat.
Right.
So they can go meet with Widmore. Now, Jack is again feeling like they need to be on the island. And he one of the things he says to Sawyer is, if, you know, let's just call him Flock. If Flock is trying to get everyone to leave together, then maybe we shouldn't leave.
Right.
Maybe we should stay. And so Sawyer gets mad at him and tells him to get off his boat, which I'm pretty sure was a line from Jaws or something like that, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Wasn't it "Get off my boat"? Wasn't that a line from Jaws?
I don't think Jaws is it.
Wasn't it?
I don't know.
But anyway, so he convinces him to get off, and Jack jumps off the boat and swims back to shore, where he's met by Flock and his cronies. And meanwhile, when the rest of the people get to Widmore's camp, they're you know,
because they think they're going to get on the sub and go back.
Right, they think they're going to get on the sub and go back home. And meanwhile, they're met by Widmore's people who pull guns on them all.
Right.
And so I don't really know where where it's going to end up with any of them.
But my theory here is, because then when they show the alternate reality, you know, the reality where if the plane didn't crash, everyone starts coming together.
And we don't really know that it's a reality where the plane didn't crash. We just know that it's something different. But there's every indication that the plane did crash, because that's how Hurley and Libby knew each other, because they still had memories of that having happened.
Right. But I mean, as far as they know in that reality, they were on the plane and the plane landed. And
right.
They're
exactly.
In LA. So I like how all the stories in that alternate reality are all starting to intermingle and converge. And so what my theory was that I said to Lou yesterday was, you see where these people are going, and I think it's starting to mirror, a la Godfather 2, it's starting to mirror, well, that's what it reminds me of, it's starting to mirror what's happening on the island, whereas, like, Saeed now is, like, the bad guy.
Right.
Jin and Sun are kind of like reunited.
Okay.
That kind of happened in both realities. You know, the thing I was saying to him, the confusing parts are the people that are showing up in this alternate reality that are dead.
Right.
In the world on the island.
Well, Locke, first and foremost.
But my guess here is that Locke, because he was just in that accident, will die.
Okay.
In that reality. But that would mean that Alana would have to, too, and Libby would have to, and...
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, there's some holes in my theory, but I'm staying with it for now.
Right.
We did also learn that when Jack saw his father in, like, the first season, his father was, in fact, the smoke monster.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. And so you have to wonder if there were other places where he was pretending to be somebody. Like, what was Tom Cruise's cousin?
I'm sorry, connection, like a mirroring of the two worlds, was how Sawyer was a cop and he was a good guy in the alternate reality, and now he's kind of like the leader,
right,
and the
is.
Good guy
exactly
on the island.
Yeah.
The same with Ben too, if you think about it, because Ben is with the good people, right?
On the island. Yeah, but we don't. I mean, that's one where it kind of falls apart a little bit, because is he really good? Even
right.
if he's hanging out with them,
right?
You know what I mean? Because his motivations are still pretty selfish.
Right.
I thought it was interesting, too, that in the alternate reality, he didn't even know Locke's first name.
Right. Right.
Which was kind of funny. But yeah, it is getting very interesting. It's going to be really cool to see how
they... And only four episodes left.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, because, I mean, you're like, how could they possibly tie this all up in four episodes?
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope they do.
Yeah.
Because really, like I've said before... All it's going to take is some dumb thing at the end for me to like
just be
feel
really
I've
mad
wasted
about the whole thing.
All of my time.
Yeah.
One
thing that's still really bothering me, and Amy and I keep talking about this every time we watch a new episode. Why hasn't Kate told Claire that she gave her kid to her mom?
Right.
It's not like she just put it in a dumpster and went back to the island. It's with Claire's mom.
And in the same respect, why hasn't Claire asked where the kid is?
Right. I mean, it's like, what is going on with that?
Right.
It's the whole Three's Company thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In fact, are we done talking about Lost?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to talk about Chuck really quickly, because there was actually a really funny bit on Chuck on Monday about that whole idea, which is that, Chuck and Sarah are together now. And, I mean, they're a couple,
uh-huh.
and they're open about being a couple.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, they're going to run away together and quit being spies so that they can just have a normal life together. And, you know, she's doing it because she thinks that's what he wants, and he's doing it because he thinks that's what she wants. And meanwhile, there was some guy who was like a terrorist who they apprehended mistakenly, because he had actually already turned himself in. So the people that they thought were with him, who were like his guys, were actually Interpol agents who they didn't kill him, but they, you know, knocked him unconscious. And then he tells them, you know, why did you... take out the Interpol agents that were with me. And so they realized it was all a big mistake and everything. But meanwhile, Casey and Morgan had gone to France where Chuck and Sarah were to kind of get them out of this pickle that they were in, if I can use the word pickle as such. Oh. And so the terrorist is sitting at this table and he's listening to a conversation between Morgan and Chuck. And then he's listening to a conversation between Casey and Sarah. And he realizes that they both still want to be spies, even though they thought they didn't. And so at the end, you know, he keeps making little comments during the episode, like, you know, communication is so important in a relationship. And it was that whole kind of thing, because if they had just talked about it to each other, they would have known. And finally, at the end, he's like, hey, you knuckleheads, you both want the same thing.
Right.
You know, and so they work it out and they go back to the CIA, and now they're both dating and still spies, which is actually pretty fun. And I'm glad they didn't, because I don't know if it's going to be back next season.
It is.
Oh, it is?
Yep.
Oh. Is that in Miscellaneous?
No, I read it.
Oh, okay.
Then or why? I think it said, I don't think it was for sure, otherwise I would have put it in the Miscellaneous.
Oh,
I think
okay.
They said chances are.
Yeah. But I'm just glad they didn't end the season or the series with them getting together. It's like there's still more that's going to happen now, which I think is really cool. But anyway, so it was a lot of fun this week again. And there were some really, really funny moments, as always, on the show. And what's really funny is, you know, I talked about the whole ridiculousness of Morgan having been made into an agent just because of his association and the help that he gave on, you know, in a couple of episodes. But it's really funny how he's actually really capable in some ways, because he knows Chuck so well. And it was him who helped Casey find Chuck in France, because he knew for all these like stupid trivial things about Chuck to look for. And he was able to find him in like 2 minutes, whereas Casey like had no idea how he was going to track them down.
Uh-huh.
So it was actually really funny and pretty clever how they did that. But all right. So what do you want to talk about next?
Let's just talk about V briefly.
Okay.
I didn't see last night's. Did you?
I don't think it was on.
It was.
It was?
Yeah.
It didn't record.
Okay. Well, we'll deal with that.
Crap.
The show.
Oh,
it was on.
No.
Here's the thing. Here's my thing about V right now. I think the story's
Kelsey, we're talking about V, not Glee, just so you know. Because I saw her get all excited over there, and I don't think she'd be excited about V.
We'll get to Glee. Here's the thing about V. The story's good, and I like it when I watch it, but it doesn't, for me, have the same kind of stakes that Lost or Flash Forward
do. Absolutely
right
not.
And
absolutely not.
I think that's just a detriment to the writers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly not the acting, because the acting is good.
Yeah.
But I mean,
the acting is good for what they're working with.
Right.
Story-wise.
So it's either like the writing or the directing or something, but like it's just it, for me, it doesn't have the pull that those other two shows have.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think a little bit of it is the acting and the casting. I'm not really crazy about either of the teenage cast.
Yeah,
her son and Anna's daughter.
Doesn't that
are
girl
both
look
very
a little weird?
Robotic?
Yeah, doesn't that girl look a little weird sometimes?
No, she looks a little weird all the time.
Oh, okay.
Like, she's not real.
Right.
And maybe they cast her and do her makeup in that way to make her seem like an alien posing as a human.
Right.
I don't know. But then what's the excuse for the son, her son?
Who still just looks too much like John Travolta for me not to be distracted by it.
I have never noticed the resemblance.
Oh, he looks just like a young John Travolta.
What?
Yeah. Next time you watch.
Okay, people, anyone who watches V, please write in and confirm that Tony
he does
is insane.
Look like John
that Tony
Travolta.
Is insane because he
John
looks
Travolta.
Like nothing like John Travolta.
I don't know. No, I mean, I do know.
And I haven't seen him disco dance a single time. So.
Not yet. It's coming.
On the big disco episode. I know what you mean, though. And you know, I hate to say this, but some of the effects are so cheesy.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many times when you can tell that the aliens are standing in an empty room with a CG, you know, CG architectural around them.
Yeah, there's
too
much
of
angles, a halo or
angles
something.
Angles don't quite match up. And,
right.
You know, I don't know. It's just weird. It's all very kind of flat.
Yeah, they look like they're floating rather than actually standing on a floor. And like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, how come we haven't seen an alien eat a rodent yet?
Right.
When is that coming? That's a hallmark of the original
or
miniseries.
To even see like a full on. I mean, all we see is like a little bit of skin.
Yeah,
or
right.
I mean, step it up.
Hook us with something.
Yeah.
Hook us with something.
Let's move on to American Idol.
Okay. American Idol, last night, I have to say, best episode this season. By a mile. It was the first time that everyone was pretty good.
Right. I fast forwarded. I mean, I watched part of the performances and then just would fast forward over some of the critiques. You know, it was country night and that's not my favorite night.
Yeah. Did you want to talk about last week's, because we did the podcast before last week's episode and last week was the Idol Gives Back. Do we want to talk about that or not really?
I didn't even watch it. I heard it was terrible.
It was awful. It was awful. Come on, Mary J. Blige doing a Stairway to Heaven.
I actually heard that. I didn't even know she did that on there. I saw it on iTunes that she did. I'm like, oh, I've got to hear this. horrendous.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't get her. I don't get the appeal of her.
You know what? I like her. But, I mean, she can't do everything.
No. And then Alicia Keys sang terrible.
Really?
Terrible.
That's surprising.
I mean, it was a terrible, dreadful performance. And I kind of like her music okay. She's kind of weird for me.
I kind of like her music okay.
Well, no, I mean, here's the thing that's strange for her, for her. The thing that's weird is that she got a great voice normally, not on that episode of American Idol. She's got a great voice normally, and I like some of her music, but as a person, she seems to not fit her artistry. Like she's in, when you hear her talk and stuff, she's a lot more street than she is as a singer.
I wonder how much of that is real.
I don't know. And I don't really care because that's the only thing I know of her.
Right.
So it's a little weird. And the thing that she, I normally don't care about this, but the thing that she wore was hideous.
I didn't see
it. It was just so odd. But anyway, I would
like to talk. I mean, let me say a couple things. First of all, I think Crystal Bowersox is definitely the most talented of the bunch.
I agree.
But I have to say, I really am rooting for Lita Wise. I want Lita Wise to win.
Well, I wouldn't mind if he won, first of all, because he's from 10 minutes from here.
Right, which, by the way, I was driving through Mount Prospect the other day.
Yeah.
When I was going back to the city after being in the suburbs and traffic was bad, blah, blah, blah. And a couple of buildings had big banners on them. Like,
oh, really?
Congratulating him and saying that they're rooting for him.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah. That's very cool. Yeah, so it'd be cool if he won just because he's from around here. I mean, don't know the guy. Don't know anyone who knows the guy. But still, that's kind of neat. And I certainly think he's talented. I'm not a huge fan of that sort of genre of music that he fits into. That whole Nickelback, Lifehouse, all those different bands, Daughtry. I mean, I think Daughtry's very talented, but I don't care about that kind of music.
Right.
And it all kind of sounds the same to me, and so I kind of don't really have any interest in that.
I actually have a little backstory on a little personal story about Daughtry. I a couple years ago, I'll probably be a little embarrassed for saying so, but I went to see Bon Jovi in concert, and Daughtry was opening for Bon Jovi, and so when they were singing one of their hits, Bon Jovi was singing one of their hits. I don't remember which one it was, but they called Chris Daughtry out to sing it with John Bon Jovi.
Yeah,
and Chris Daughtry's voice blew John Bon Jovi's away to the point where, you probably sense that, he felt like he had just been shown up.
Yeah.
But it was funny.
I mean, he's a talented guy. Yeah. It's just not my style that I enjoy. Crystal is very talented, but again, she's just,
she's
boring.
And
that's the problem with this season in general. Everyone is boring.
Right.
Everyone is boring. There isn't a single... If you think back, I was telling Kelsey this earlier. If you think back to seasons... Because this is season 9, right?
Yes.
If you think back to seasons 5 and 7, there were so many great personalities on those that every episode was fun.
Right.
Because there was, wackiness and goofiness and... the Taylor Hicks season, which was season 5, really was the first season that was like that. That you watched the show as much for the wackiness that went on as you
did. Not only the wackiness, but there were people that you really had an emotional tie with.
Right.
And there's none of that this
year. There were
just
so many distinct personalities, and they were fun.
Right.
In both of those seasons. That it's just when you...
I mean, even though I didn't like him, even last season, you kind of pulled a little for Danny Gokey because he lost his wife.
Yeah.
And then there was
although I always thought there was something very Stepford and weird about him in that respect. I talked about it at the time. Right.
But David Cook, his brother had cancer
But David, the thing about David Cook was that, and that was season 7, and that was, the other season that I think was really great
Was season 8. I thought that was last season.
David Cook?
Yeah.
No, David Cook and David Archuleta were the last two. Last season was Adam Lambert and...
you're right. Chris Allen.
Chris Allen. No, so the David Cook season was great because he had people him, David Archuleta, who had an interesting story. The crazy dad. You had Brooke White, who I loved. I mean, you had all these other people who were a lot of
fun. Jason Castro.
Jason Castro. Oh, my God. I love Jason Castro. He just played... he's playing tonight.
Here?
Yeah, at Lincoln Hall.
He actually, I saw a review, was it Entertainment Weekly? Yeah, of his album that he has out right now, and it got rave reviews.
The EP, or does he have a new album?
EP.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It all sounds a little bit similar.
But it's good.
But it is. I really like the sound of it, and I just like his voice.
Right.
And I like his kind of, aw shucks sort of spacey airheadedness.
Right. Who also looks like a young John Travolta.
Okay, him, I totally see.
Yeah.
I don't see that at all.
You will when you go back and watch it.
No, I won't.
It just hasn't been pointed out to you.
No.
But now that it has, you will see it.
I'm not going to see it. Jason Castro, though, totally. I totally see that. But, yeah, so Idol is just so boring and just... Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting. We talked about this. I think we talked about this whenever within the last... whatever. Remember that episode of American Idol from a season or two ago when Barry Manilow was on as a mentor?
I remember years ago when he was on.
Well, it was within the last 2 years.
I don't remember him being on again, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Wasn't it within the last 2 years?
No, because, I mean, the reason I remember him being on was...
Or was it maybe it was season five?
The year he was on when he was a mentor was, it was the week that Jennifer Hudson was voted out. And that was like 4 or 5 years
ago. Oh, really? Was that long ago?
Yeah. Because she sang Weekend in New England, and everyone was shocked that she was voted out.
Oh, okay.
And now she has an Oscar.
Well, maybe I'm thinking of something else. There have been times, though, when a mentor has come on, and it seems like everybody totally steps up their game. And it was really interesting that it was Shania Twain.
Right.
This, because, I mean, this was seriously, absolutely, unquestionably the best week for everyone involved. And to the point where I don't really know if I have any sense of who's going to go home tonight.
You know who I'm tired of? And I wanted to mention this, Siobhan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I still like her craziness.
I don't think she's as good as everyone thinks she is.
Well, you know, I think she's very talented.
I did like how Simon said that at the end it sounded like she was giving birth.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I think she's very talented. I mean, she almost never goes off key. You know, she's a good singer, but it's a very particular style. Amy always says she sounds just like Linda Ronstadt, which I don't know Linda Ronstadt well enough to know if I agree with that. But
I think that's my problem with her is, yeah, she may have her own style, but what style is it? I mean, you can't put your finger on it.
But I see, I don't mind that. Although
Linda Ronstadt was that way too.
That's why I liked, for instance, Kelly Clarkson's first album more than any of her others, because it was so all over the place that there was a lot of different style on there. And I really enjoy that on a collection of music, you know what I mean?
And now it's like Kelly Clarkson singing Avril Lavigne songs.
What?
Well, now her albums sound like she's singing Avril Lavigne songs.
Yeah, she's kind of angry, isn't she?
Yeah, and just kind of, you know, that punky pop.
Yeah, which, you know, maybe it's a phase she's going through. I don't know, whatever. She's still,
oh, it's what sells. She's still, I mean, a good, I think that's, yeah. Because remember, she had that one album that she came out with that, like, her producers and everything were telling her, you know, don't do this kind of stuff. And she's like, no, I'm going to do it. And then it was her worst selling album. So then she went back to the formula and, like...
See, I'd like to see her go back to the formula of the first album, because I like that. I like that mix of rock and pop and kind of bluesy and jazzy kind of stuff and, you know, whatever. So I don't mind that with Siobhan, but she does have kind of a 70s sound to her, sort of inherently.
Right.
So I'm not sure what kind of a collection of music or kind of an album she could release that would do well. But I think she's a really good singer. I have never really liked Aaron. I think the kid has no personality.
Zero personality.
He never changes anything.
Talk about Stepford.
I mean, he never changes anything. Yeah. And plus, he's got squinty eyes, and I hate that.
Right.
I just don't like
that. So for that.
Yeah. Get him out of there.
I have Modern Family on the list here, but I don't think there was a new one last week, was there?
You know, I don't know. Okay. We're like behind on our comedies. We haven't seen The Office.
Oh, you haven't seen The Office?
No.
Oh, I wanted to talk about The Office. It's all right. We won't talk.
I need to talk about Stargate Universe.
Okay.
Because it's just been so good since coming back. And
is Robert Nepper on there yet?
No.
He's coming.
You keep saying that, but I still have seen no evidence of it.
I reported on it, so it's going to happen.
Yeah. So now we're in a situation where there are two groups of people basically stranded on two different planets. Because in this past episode, these people went down to check out some ruins on a planet that the ship stopped at, and they got trapped in a sort of rock slide when one of the guys shot at a 6-foot spider, which was actually a pretty creepy scene. And then the ship went back into you know, hyperspace, basically. And so these people are stuck there. And then the previous episode, the people decided to stay on this one planet. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens. And maybe Robert Nepper is going to show up this week. Because
he's coming.
Well, not only that, but we know that there are bad aliens, and we know that there are some other aliens that we don't know anything about. who built the planet from the episode 2 weeks ago. So,
right.
So it's been really good. It's become much more enjoyable and much more like gripping every week, which is pretty cool.
And better than dripping.
Well, depending on what you're watching. Yeah, that's usually the case.
Okay. Do you want to talk about 24?
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm a little disappointed with...
I thought you were so excited about this season.
I am, and it was still a good episode, but I'm disappointed with where they've gone with President Taylor's character. President Taylor? Yeah. But I have to say, can you look up, real quick, can you look up who plays Ethan on the show?
Yeah. I wish there was a way you could just type in Ethan 24. I wonder if you can.
Why don't you just do that in Google? That's how I usually find stuff.
Ah.
Because IMDb is not great for trying to track down people that way. No. You know what I mean?
Okay, what am I looking for?
Ethan.
I found him.
Okay, who's the actor who plays him?
Bob Gunton.
Okay. This guy, you see a picture of him there?
I'm going to go to IMDb. No. Bob Gunton.
Switch to at the top of the, are you on Google? The Google?
I know, just press the images, but I want to see, I want to see what else he's been into.
Okay.
Ah, that guy.
Yeah. So he's been in a lot of stuff. You recognize him, right?
Yes.
He almost always plays a complete J-hole in almost everything he's in, right?
Yep.
It's so cool seeing him cast against type because he's like the voice of, you know, the president's conscience, basically, and the voice of, you know, what is right and the right thing to do. And I just love seeing him in that role because he's usually not that guy. And I always enjoy when people get cast against type. And stuff. And so she's going down a road that I'm not really crazy about. And of course they brought back, who's smarmy president from a couple seasons ago?
Oh yeah.
They brought back him.
Yeah.
And now
the one that was married to Jean Smart.
Yeah. Right. And now he's in her ear and giving her all this bad advice and everything. And I like it when there's government involvement in the shenanigans that are going on the show. And this season is all about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling something that I'm going to really not like is going to happen next week. I don't want to say what it is in case I'm right.
Right.
I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but I think...
That's bad when you give spoilers before I even see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Can confirm that right. They're spoilers.
But I'm pretty sure that something is going to happen next week that I'm not going to like.
Like your DVR is not going to tape it like that.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. I don't know why we didn't get V last night.
I don't know.
That's not cool. Speaking of V, when does True Blood come back?
Very soon. Because, I mean, in all the news posts and everything, I'm just flooded with it. To the point where I don't even read them now because there's just so much.
Wow.
But there's going to be werewolves and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to see what's... I'm excited to see more backstory. I'm excited to see more backstory on Sam's family and his whole thing. He's probably my favorite character still.
Really?
Yeah.
He's so annoying to me.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not as annoying as that chick was, Marianne. But
can't stand her.
So glad she's gone.
Yeah, me too.
Let me just talk a little about Glee. I know you haven't seen it, so I won't give any plot points.
Yeah.
My issue with Glee right now.
And we didn't talk about it last week.
It has nothing to do with Glee. It has to do with American Idol. But last night was the second time the end of Glee was cut off. Last week it was a whole musical number cut off because American Idol ran late. Now, Fox realizes this, so they've been showing that episode of Glee on Fridays then, so you can DVR it and get the whole thing. But that's aggravating. I mean,
I don't know if I knew that we missed it, the last musical number. I'm pretty sure.
You didn't see it, you told me. It was the Madonna episode last week. And then last night it cut off.
No, we did see, we finally saw last week's. No. Oh, that one. Okay, no, we haven't watched
last
that
week
yet.
Was the Madonna.
Okay.
We're now, yesterday was the third episode.
Okay, no, we've only seen the first one. And I have to say, I was very underwhelmed by that first episode.
Yeah, but you know what? The Madonna episode, I mean, even if you're not a fan of Madonna, the choreography and the musical numbers were great.
Yeah.
I mean, they do really cool things. There's one thing where the cheerleaders in the Madonna episode do this whole choreography on stilts. It's really cool.
Oh, really?
And last night's episode was... Kristen Chenoweth was on. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. And there were some really, like, heartfelt moments in it. And I don't want to give any of the story away, but some story stuff has happened that I like.
Okay. Good, because that was one of the things that I really didn't like about the first episode.
No, I think
first
there's more story this time than the first time around. I mean, before, they drag stuff out.
Yeah.
And so story happened very slowly.
Right.
And now I think it's happening
much more quickly.
Right. They're adding new elements here and there. That's
yeah. See, I was really disappointed in the first episode that Shu was so quick to make out with that other you know woman.
Right. Well, like I told you yesterday at lunch, you'll be redeemed by that. Yeah. In the second episode.
But the reason it bugged me is because the whole first part of the season, his little thing that he had going with Emma was based on their mutual admiration for each other in ways that had nothing to do with sex, and now all of a sudden it turned into this whole thing. Well, she doesn't want to have sex with me, so I'm going to go cheat on her with some other random stranger.
Right.
I was like, well
you'll be redeemed. You'll be redeemed.
They'll be redeemed.
Last night, you know what's so funny to me is some of the music they choose for the show. I mean, I know they're trying to be like popular and hip with like the kids and stuff, but last night they did two songs from Burt Bacharach, which were great. I mean, Kristen Chenoweth sang one of them, and then Kurt sang another one. So they were great, but it's just so like sometimes their musical choices are all over the place and just odd.
See, again, I like that though. Oh, I like the big mix.
Yeah. No, I do too, because you don't know what to expect.
Come on, Burt Bacharach was in Austin Powers.
So there's that.
So there's that.
In fact, are we ready to move on to miscellaneous? Because I'll start with my bit of glee.
Wait, are we?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
In response to the success of the All Madonna episode, Glee creator Ryan Murphy has announced a list of other artists that may get a whole episode tribute. Ready for this?
Oh, boy.
Britney Spears.
Okay. Well, it fits the demographic.
Led Zeppelin, which I think could be interesting. That could go either way. It could either be done really well, or it could just be Mary J. Blige singing Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, no.
Billy Joel, which, you know, I've always thought that Billy Joel's a little overrated. If you go back, I mean, he's got...
I disagree.
He's got his classics, but you go back and listen to the stuff that was kind of popular at the time, like... what's that one song where he says everything so fast?
But you could say that about Elton John too. I mean, Elton John had his classic period, and then he had the more modern like Disney stuff.
Yeah, but
Elton
John has a much bigger classic catalog.
I agree, but I totally disagree that Billy Joel is overrated. I don't think he's a particularly nice guy. He seems like a jerk.
I'm not even talking about that. But like the whole he's.
I think his early stuff was really strong.
Yes, his early stuff. Yes, but then he lent too much to the times and trends.
I would just like you all to know, listening. I have now received two sets of double thumbs up from Tony during this episode.
Did I?
Yeah, you did that. You've done that twice so far, where you looked at me and put up both thumbs up.
I'm channeling
like, yes,
the Fonz. I'm channeling the Fonz,
which I think we should all do a little bit more in our daily lives. But I'm sorry, go on. I don't know. I think his first couple of albums, first two or three albums, were really great.
Yeah, I mean, but he's probably made like 15 albums.
Okay. But
like that whole We Didn't Start the Fire. I mean, he just lent himself too much to the trends of music that some of his stuff is not, it doesn't age well. And so when you go back and hear it, like.
Oh, I don't dispute that. But I mean, what I'm disputing is that in the late 70s, in early 80s, I think he was one of the strongest musical forces out there.
Maybe I just didn't have a taste for him.
Yeah.
But the other artist that they're considering doing a whole episode tribute to,
Buckner and Garcia,
Courtney Love. And Ryan Murphy said,
"Can you even count her as an artist?"
I know. Well, I mean, some of Hole's music isn't bad, but I mean, for Ryan Murphy to Ryan Murphy said that she's like his favorite, so it would be like, you know, just his own personal project, but come on.
I'm sorry. She is another one of those people that
she actually was on Letterman last night, and I couldn't watch it.
Entirely
She's
just
so
unappealing.
Annoying.
Yeah, and she just seems like a dirtbag. Yeah. I mean, you don't really apply that term to women too often. Right. She really seems like a dirtbag.
And responsible for the death of Kurt Cobain. Well, I mean, once you do yourself into. It's terrible.
Oh, that is terrible.
I'm moving
but
on.
But also funny.
Conan O'Brien will break his silence this weekend when he is interviewed on Sunday's 60 Minutes.
Oh, that's
that
cool.
Should be interesting. Yeah. HBO has announced that Curb Your Enthusiasm will return for a 10th season.
Wait, which show is that?
The one with Larry David.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've tried to watch that show and I can't watch it.
I love that show.
Yeah.
And
he's too annoying.
Also,
when the central character of something is somebody who you would never want to spend time with in real life.
But because of the way he is on that show, nothing but bad stuff happens to him. So he kind of gets punished every episode for his behavior.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's...
I've known people like that in real life, and I don't want to spend any time around them. At all.
I didn't put it here, but also Parenthood has been renewed for a second season.
Are you still watching that?
Yes. But I tell you, after every episode, I'm just like... I know, it's just so bad, but I can't stop watching. It's so weird. I can't stop watching it.
And then we saw a commercial for it.
It's so bad.
We saw a commercial for it last night where the dad was teaching a kid how to dance or something.
Uh-huh.
And what was really funny, if you remember at the beginning of Modern Family, how I was annoyed that Phil was channeling Michael Scott, it looked like the dad was channeling Phil.
Yeah.
Like in his geekiness and how he was teaching the kid how to dance and everything. This show looks terrible.
It's just written so, like, it's just so cheesy.
It's like filled with sap and
oh
cheese.
Oh my God, it is. But I can't stop
butterflies
watching.
And rainbows.
I don't even know why.
I don't either.
And finally, Poison frontman and reality TV star Bret Michaels is in critical condition from a brain hemorrhage, which followed an emergency appendectomy he had 2 weeks before.
You know what's so funny about that? It's not that there's anything funny about that.
No.
But what's funny related to that is our 60-some-year-old neighbor who loves Celebrity Apprentice was like practically in tears when she found out about that.
Well, because, you know, Celebrity Apprentice, I never really watched that Rock of Love. It was just trash. Yeah. But I'd seen enough of it that I can comment on it. But you know, I've been watching Celebrity Apprentice, which I didn't put in our list.
No, here. And you haven't even talked about it.
You really learned to like him on it. He's a really genuinely nice guy and pretty smart guy and very, you know, like, he's one of the few that's really like gung-ho about the whole doing
taking it seriously.
But, I think part of the reason is he's really diabetic, and I think that's where all of his health issues are coming from.
Yeah.
And that's his charity. So really, it's, you know, he has more of an emotional connection to it than maybe most of the others.
Sure.
I won't say Holly Robinson Peake because she has an autistic child.
Okay.
Autism is her charity, but she's a horrible person.
Oh, really?
She will throw anyone under the bus. She's terrible.
Yeah.
But
it's just so funny that she was all up in arms. She came over and she's like wearing her headset and she was like talking to people about, you know, what's going on with Bret Michaels and stuff. And I'm just like, what? You're 60 something. Shouldn't you be worried about, you know?
No, he's a nice guy. That's why.
Yeah.
And I don't have much to say about Celebrity Apprentice. I mean, it's been entertaining, but none of the shockers of, like, you know, the Joan Rivers season.
Right.
But I think Sharon Osbourne.
Was that last year?
Yeah, I think Sharon Osbourne is percolating a bit. So I think
Give
it a week or two.
Brewing?
Because she was sick for most of the first part of the season. So there was some episodes she wasn't even on.
Yeah.
But she's back and she's very outspoken. Yeah. I really like her a lot.
Yeah.
And so.
Cool. Is that all you got for TV?
Well, that's it.
All right, cool. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back to talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies, and neither one of us has seen anything.
This is
going to
be a really short segment.
This will, in fact, be really short.
But I promise I will see something.
Okay, and I just want to say, a couple days ago, you know, I get updates from The Hollywood Reporter, and a couple days ago I got one where they reviewed Iron Man 2.
Uh-huh.
Word on the street, terrible.
No. Really?
That's what they said.
Said
it's got no soul, it's all spectacle, and...
You can tell tell that from the preview.
I have to say, I was not as big of a fan of the first one as most people were.
It.
I think that the first Spider-Man and the first two X-Men movies were infinitely better than the first Iron Man.
I may give you Spider-Man 2, but
Spider-Man
2? Yeah, Spider-Man 2 was better than Spider-Man 1.
No, not a chance in hell.
By far.
The Doc Octopus one?
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Much better than
that
Spider-Man.
Movie was awful.
I disagree.
Oh, I didn't like that movie at all.
3 was awful.
But 2 was nowhere near as good as the first one.
I think
one.
2 is better than the first
the
one.
First
and
Spider-Man,
as far as X-Men, I don't think...
Okay,
Iron Man is...
Wait. The first Spider-Man, the first two X-Men, and both of the Batman movies, infinitely better than Iron Man.
Oh, I will give you Batman, definitely. But I will not agree that Iron Man is worse than the first two X-Men.
Absolutely.
Iron Man is way better than
any
of the X-Men movies.
No way. It felt... You know why? It felt like a very small film. It didn't feel...
Well, because he's not as big a character as some of
It doesn't
of
matter.
Characters.
It doesn't matter. I mean, even with all the stuff with, like, the press conferences and, you know, the celebrity that he was and stuff like that, I never got the sense that he was as much a part of his world as the Spider-Man character and the X-Men characters were in their respective worlds. Like, you know, the sense that you got that Spider-Man was a part of the you know, just what was going on in people's heads in New York City and how the X-Men were in terms of their dealings with Congress and, you know, all this and all that and the war that began brewing between the good and bad sides of those. I felt like those were much more a part of their worlds than Iron Man was a part of his, even with, like, the spectacle of him, you know, declaring himself as Iron Man and all that. I felt like like outside of the little rooms he was in, like nobody really cared. And for me, that kind of ruins that kind of movie, because that's the sense you want. You want the sense that this stuff is really going on and that it could be really going on. And I didn't get that from Iron Man. And at the beginning of the film, I thought it was entirely preposterous that he built that suit out of what he had to work with there.
Well, now you're going to look at logistics.
No, because again, it's an internal consistency.
But X-Men was much more realistic.
It's an internal consistency issue. And I didn't feel like when you see...
He was a genius. A genius.
Yeah, but he wasn't MacGyver. I mean, come on.
That little
pulse, you know, flux capacitor thing that he built. It's like, where did he get the materials for that? I mean,
he's a genius.
Whatever. I didn't buy it. I thought it was entertaining. It was fine, but I didn't think it was. And come on, there's a guy in the movie called Obadiah. You can't name a character Obadiah and have a great movie. It's just not possible. But anyway, so you know, who knows? Maybe I'll like the second one more than I like the first one.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So if you just want to start the miscellaneous stuff, I just want to let you know that I had read that.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, sure.
For ruining my summer. Yeah. Avatar keeps breaking records. The movie has become the fastest selling Blu-ray of all time, selling 2.7 million discs in just 4 days.
Wow.
4 million standard DVDs were sold in those 4 days as well.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. That's a pretty good 6. Testament for
7,
Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Because that's how many DVDs?
Standard 4 million, Blu-ray 2.7.
Wow, that's almost 60-some, 70%?
Right.
As many Blu-rays as DVDs. That's pretty amazing.
Right.
That to me is amazing.
You figure the huge fanboys of that are going to be advanced enough that they have a Blu-ray player.
Well, either that or it's the kind of movie that people love so much that if they didn't have one, they would go and buy one just to watch that.
Right. Right.
You know?
Oh, that'd be an interesting number to see if, like, on the week that this came out, if players went up.
Yeah.
I bet they did. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Transformers 3 begins filming July 4th on the streets of downtown Chicago.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know how all those crews always stay where I work?
Although yeah.
I probably shouldn't have said that, but I'll see if I can get some scoop.
Yeah,
in town.
And maybe we can.
Maybe we can find out where they're filming and do a little.
Do a little something.
Yeah,
maybe we could be extras. Reporting.
Yeah, so you can go smack Megan Fox right in her pouty face,
Miss Fox, Miss Fox. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were someone else.
Thought you were Samantha Fox.
Whatever happened to her?
I don't know.
She was like such a big deal for a while. What?
Hooker.
Oh, that's terrible.
Clash of the Titans and Journey to the Center of the Earth will both see sequels in 2012. Sources say that the Journey sequel will not star Brendan Fraser.
Well, that's a little
weird. Speaking of Brendan Fraser, have you seen the commercial for that?
Just saw it last night. And it was so funny.
Oh, my
God. So the commercial comes on.
He needs to stop. You know, he's like nails on a chalkboard to me. But it's because he keeps making the same movie over and over and over.
The commercial comes on and Amy goes, well, uh-oh, that movie's going to suck. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I think he's okay in those family kind of movies.
He's the same. You know, they should just edit him out of one of their other movies and just, you know, put him in.
Oh,
they don't have
to
pay him as much.
That's what they do. They filmed him on a green screen like 10
right.
years ago.
He's been dead for years.
Well, he isn't. He's not dead, but he is from
his
Canada.
His career should be.
Wow.
For some reason, there will be a Ghost Rider 2.
There shouldn't have been a Ghost Rider 1.
Right. Nicolas Cage will not appear.
Huh.
Part of the reason for that is Sony made Ghost. You know, Ghost Rider is a Marvel property, and Sony made Ghost Rider with Nicolas Cage. So now Marvel has reacquired the rights. So now they're making Ghost Rider 2.
Well, then maybe it could be good.
So really what they should do is do what they did with the Hulk and just start over.
Just call it Ghost Rider.
Right.
Yeah. I want to go back to Journey to the Center of the Earth for a second. You know, I've mentioned this before, but that's one of those movies that I would like to see a good writer, director, producer do as a serious movie. Because you could do something that has the potential to be like, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark good with that idea. And I don't know why nobody's done that. Everything that's been done since the original that everybody has seen has been just like schlock, basically. Or the Brendan Fraser one, which was more of a kid's movie.
Right.
But that movie could be great, and I wish somebody would do that one of these days.
Paul Reubens, a.k.a. Pee Wee Herman, will be the voice of Jokey Smurf in the upcoming Smurfs movie.
Yeah, so there you go. Reason to see it.
Helen Mirren will appear in the Arthur remake.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say she was going to be one of the Smurfs, too.
But she will appear in the Arthur remake starring Russell Brand. I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Isn't he kind of Arthur in real life,
though? Right, I know.
I mean, you know, Russell Brand and what's the other guy's name? The short, heavier one.
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill were on.
Have you seen the thing?
The Idol Gives Back.
Well, have you seen the thing for their new movie? It looks good. That movie is about
the characters from Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Right. No, but what I was gonna say is they were on
Idol Gives Back.
Idol Gives Back. And so was George Lopez. And
I saw that part. Terrible. Not a single. I mean, were those even jokes?
It was awful. And he kept like messing up his lines too.
It was terrible.
But then Jonah Hill and Russell Brand were on doing this thing where they said they had gotten all these celebrities together to do a phone bank. And then the only people that they like actually had the Octomom and some other people. And then Jim Carrey shows up, and then he's mad that no other actual celebrities were there, so he leaves. And
was it funny?
No, it was just weird. It's just weird.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
Disney Pixar has announced that there will be a Monsters, Inc. 2. I need to go see that movie or revisit that movie because when I didn't really have a desire to see it, so I never saw it in the theaters. Then I just rented it one day and was pleasantly surprised. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would.
I just thought it was okay. I wouldn't put
it up there with like, you know, Incredibles or Up.
Right.
But.
Yeah, I need to go back and finish watching
you
Up.
You do need to finish watching
But no, I don't think it was one of their strongest. I think it was probably their second to worst movie.
Cars being far the worst.
No.
My God. Cars is the worst.
But you know what? Let me tell you something. In terms of heart, if you go back and you watch that movie again.
I won't.
I'm just saying if you did, because I liked it when I first saw it. I like it a lot more now. It actually is a very sweet
movie.
People,
I'm asking you to chime in.
No. No, the worst movie they ever made was Bug's Life, easily.
Cars is worse.
No, it's you're crazy. Oh my you just God. Don't like Cars, and you don't like Owen Wilson. There's two things about that movie that you hate, and that's why you don't like it. The movie itself, the
I
story
like Larry
itself,
the Cable Guy.
Is so you like Mater? Is that who played him?
Yeah.
No, no, that's actually a very sweet movie, and it's. I think they handled the whole transition of the change of that character really, really well.
I can't talk about it anymore. It gives my head
and this is
feeling.
Something that people listening, I do want you to write in.
Yes, please.
To rate the like three best and three worst
Pixar movies. Do it.
And you know what? You know what's
I'll
really a shame?
Remind them on Facebook.
You know what's really a shame is that it would be very hard to classify WALL-E because half of that movie is so wonderful and half of it is just kind of like, eh.
I'd still would I put it in the top three? I think I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. But up and
okay,
up and in the
where would you put
up
and
Incredibles?
Incredibles
are definitely in the top three.
Which one do you think is the best? For you?
I don't know. It's so hard to pick a favorite of the two
because you know, not having seen Up yet, I definitely Incredibles is my favorite Pixar movie.
I don't know. I they're tied for one. And
Toy
two.
Story 2, I also really love.
Oh, you know what? Maybe a Toy Story would be my number three. Two is better than one.
Two is better than one. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Oh, Finding Nemo has to be in there.
Love Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo is
just a solid
film
in general.
Yeah,
you know what? That would probably be number three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But WALL-E, you know, is right up there. I mean, the parts of it that are good are just almost perfect.
Right.
And then it was ruined by the hitting you over the head with the stupid green message and fat people stuff.
Right.
Which is just ridiculous.
Are you ready for me to move on?
Yes.
The Crazies director... Not the crazy director, but director.
Because that
of
could be anyone.
The Crazies.
Right.
Breck Eisner has been hired to direct a remake of Escape from New York. I think that would be really good.
And will Kurt Russell appear?
No. You know who was supposed to play him? I mean, they were going to make a remake a few years ago, and Gerard Butler was supposed to star in it, but then he backed out for creative differences.
And, you know, he's already been in a movie kind of like that. I mean, he was in that Player, which was kind of like that, right?
Gamer, you mean?
Gamer, whatever, yeah. It was kind of similar concept.
Yeah,
you know, I gotta say, I love Kurt Russell. I'm a huge Kurt Russell fan, and and I really like Gerard Butler. I just don't think that Gerard Butler has that same
personality
spark that Kurt Russell has
or charisma. Yeah,
yeah,
Yeah, they need to find. They need to stop looking at like a big action hero and look for someone with a little more personality.
Right, I totally agree. Because you can make anyone into an action hero.
Speaking of, you know what looks terrible to me? Terrible. And they keep showing the commercials. Is this new Robin Hood movie with Russell Crowe? Do you buy Russell Crowe as Robin Hood?
Well, what? What?
I mean, obviously, it's a different take.
I actually talked about this in a previous show. But
did you?
did you really? I think I did, because what I mentioned was that it's like they're just redoing Gladiator in a different setting.
Right. You know what? Good point.
I mean,
good
they're
point.
Just
That's
redoing
like.
Gladiator in a different yeah. setting. It's like, it looks like it's going to be almost exactly the same
story.
It doesn't
look entertaining at all.
I'll go see it.
By the way, that's a perfect segue for my next item.
Okay.
Ridley Scott has announced.
Yes.
I love how we tied it all together.
It happens.
That his Alien prequel will be a two-parter.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope they're only going to be a week apart then, because I'm not going to want to sit around for 6 months and wait to find out what happens.
6 months? You think that's all it'll be?
Well, it depends if he does it like The Matrix, you know.
Right.
But that's kind of interesting. He's got that much story to tell. It better be a good story.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's so much that could be done with that. I hope
it better not star Russell Crowe.
I hope he's going
to
bring back.
That's all I have to say.
It might.
Oh, it better not.
It might, Rabbit. It might. I hope he brings back Dan O'Bannon to work on the story, because he's the guy who did the original story for Alien. You know, I was going to say, I said a minute ago, you can, because you said find somebody with personality rather than the big action star. And I said, because you can make anyone into a big action star. Going back to Chuck, it's one of the things I have to say I'm so impressed with on that show. Yvonne Strahovski, who plays Sarah, she is really great. She is totally convincing when she's kicking ass. And, I mean, she does, like, all these different accents and everything. And she's Australian, you know. She never flubs up her American accent. And then she was doing, like, a Southern accent. She was speaking, like, Polish or Russian or something. Sounded like she was, I mean, I don't know, but sounded like she was speaking it right. And then Zachary Levi, who plays Chuck, who, you know, I think he's great as Chuck. I mean, I can't imagine anyone else playing that part.
Right.
But like when he was speaking French, it sounded like an actor speaking French, where she sounds very convincing in everything she does. She's right. A really good actor. And like I said, she is completely convincing in the
How
action.
How does this tie into anything that we've been
talking about making somebody with good personality into an action star, which I had set up at the beginning of.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
That's all I got.
Really? You interrupted me for saying goodbye to the segment? That's terrible.
That's all I got.
All right, cool. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back to talk about everything else in the old mashup. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
The moosh moosh.
There you go. That was a half-hearted moosh moosh.
That's all you're getting.
That's all. Wow. Okay. The whole lost iPhone 4G saga has gotten even uglier, with police illegally raiding Jason Chen's home and seizing all of his computers, despite a California law that says that warrants cannot be issued to seize the computers of journalists.
Does that mean journalists can have child pornography?
No. Because that's illegal.
Ah.
Right?
Right.
That's a totally different thing.
Okay.
This was suspicion of a crime, according to one party in a dispute.
What is the crime here?
Well, the crime is that Apple had basically accused him of
and I already
having
this is going to turn into a I hate Apple rant.
accused him of having the iPhone 4G stolen so that they could get it.
Oh, that's what they're accusing him?
Well, that's what has been sort of bandied about. And that's where this
came
from,
basically.
Well,
wouldn't that mean that this Gray Powell, or whatever his name is, who lost it, would... Is that what he said?
Who has
that it
not
was
been fired, as far as I know.
Right.
So
is he saying that it was stolen from him?
Not that I saw.
Well, wouldn't that testimony be necessary for...
You would think so. We'll talk about this more. In other Apple news, the WWDC starts on June 7th, so I'm sure we can all expect the latest news from Apple on how they plan to arrest journalists, control every aspect of how we live our lives, fire employees during a down economy, and how they plan to install Steve Jobs as the eventual successor to and replacement of God.
I didn't read forward.
The last space shuttle launch will be in November, as Discovery will blast off on its final voyage, ending the era of the space shuttle program. After that, NASA will turn to the private sector to get people up to and hopefully back from space. Top Gear's Jeremy Clarkson, who I love, hates BMW's new X1 crossover so much that he actually called it rubbish. In short, he didn't like anything about it. You can read the full article via the link on pause.com. And it really is funny. What I love about him is that he'll take 2/3 of the article to get to actually talking about cars. Everything else is like set up for what he's about to write about, whatever he is that he's writing about. He is such a good writer and very, very funny. DARPA, do you know who DARPA is?
No.
DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Administration.
Oh, I knew that.
Right. They lost their their Falcon Hypersonic Technology Vehicle 2, a.k.a. HTV-2, 9 minutes into its maiden voyage. It's a hypersonic glider capable of traveling at speeds over Mach 20 and is designed to deliver a payload of conventional weapons anywhere in the world in under an hour without being mistaken for a nuclear missile, which is probably a good idea. So if you're walking around minding your own business, you know, and you're hit by a big pointy thing going about 15,000 miles per hour, please let them know as soon as possible.
They never found it?
It's missing.
Wow.
Goes 15,000 miles an hour and it's missing. That could really hurt. Sony will officially discontinue the 3.5-inch floppy disk next year after 30 years. And nobody will shed a tear over this.
Are they bringing back the 5-inch floppy?
Yeah, they're going to bring back the 8-inch floppy. Like from War Games.
Right.
McAfee Total Protection ended up being a total disaster last week, although I've been telling people that for years, as it identified a crucial Windows XP system file as malicious software and deleted it, sending affected computers into an endless reboot cycle and unusable. McAfee wants to apologize, quote-unquote, to its affected customers by reimbursing them for reasonable repair expenses and giving them 2 more years of that total protection for free. Who would want that software on their computer after it made their computer unusable? How about they apologize by going out of business? That would make me happy. I hate that company. Don't ever... Now, just so you know, people, I am...
Take it from Uncle Lou.
Take it from Uncle Lou. Okay, I know a lot about computers, all right? And I'm telling you, McAfee and Norton are both horrible, horrible pieces of software that probably do more damage to your computer and more harm than the stuff that they're supposedly protecting you against. They're terrible. I would get rid of them as quickly as possible if you have either one of those on your computer.
Do you want to give people an alternative?
Well, I use Microsoft Security Essentials, which is they all work in basically the same way. That when people, you know, when the respective companies find out about viruses and other malicious software, they, you know, write something that will sniff it out and remove it from your system. And so considering that they all basically work the same way, you want one that's updated frequently and that works as much in the background as possible without affecting your system performance as much as possible. And so I use Microsoft Security Essentials, which is also free. So there's an extra added benefit there. And you use it too, right?
I'm still using OneCare.
Yeah, you got to get rid of that. Why? What are you waiting for? It takes like 5 minutes.
I don't have that kind of time.
Okay. You just gave me my worst entertainment moment of the week. Volkswagen is holding an App My Ride contest in which contestants can submit flash apps that showcase concepts for a next generation infotainment system. You know, like the navigation and audio and all that kind of stuff that's in a lot of cars now. So for all of those of you who think you could design a much better in-car nav and entertainment system than what's in your current car, here's your chance. Winning students will get the opportunity to study with the VW Research Group in Tokyo, Shanghai, California, or Wolfsburg. In total, there's about $18,000 worth of prizes on the line.
So the prize is you get to go study. What if I just want to go vacation?
You can't do that.
Well, that's you're not a prize.
You're not allowed to do that. No, who would let you do that? That's ridiculous.
It's like giving someone detention as a prize.
Well...
Or study hall.
There's a hottie in detention that is a prize. Didn't you always wonder that? You know, if you're going to go to detention, I hope there's at least somebody good in there, you know, to hang out with.
I never went to
3 hours. I didn't either. I was a good student. A Russian lunar rover missing on the moon for about 40 years has just been located. Scientists are excited about this because the Lunokhod 1 will somehow be able to help them learn more about the moon's liquid core and its gravity. Did you know the moon had a liquid core?
No.
I didn't know that either. Sounds like something out of an X-Files episode. The new MacBook Pro with a Core i7 processor is reportedly running at up to 100 degrees Celsius, which, by the way, is 212 degrees Fahrenheit.
It's boiling.
Yeah. Just FYI. And that super hot core is Core i7 is only a dual core processor. So you can get an Asus quad core i7 laptop for like $1,200 at Best Buy, which is less than half of the MacBook Pro's $2,500. And the Asus has a bigger screen. It's got a 17-inch screen instead of a 15-inch. And it has 6 gigs of RAM instead of 4. So I just gave you a bunch of reasons not to buy a MacBook Pro. Some chemists have figured out how to change the shape of salt crystals to make things taste just as salty while actually only using 25% less sodium. Lay's will start using it next year. That's kind of cool because they figured out that only a certain percentage of the salt crystals actually dissolve on your tongue before you swallow the food.
Uh-huh.
And so they changed it. They change the shape of the crystal so that they dissolve quicker, and then they have to use less salt.
Why did it take so long to do that? That sounds like something that would be...
You know, they just figured it out. The Juju, formerly known as the Crunch Pad, is now available in Europe for 300 and some odd euros. YouTube has finally opened its video rental store where you can watch high-quality movies for anywhere between 99 cents and $3.99. And you can only watch them for up to 48 hours, and there aren't a ton of movies on offer yet, but it's something. I don't know how I like the idea of that. I like the Netflix model so much in terms of just getting them and returning them when you're done with them.
Right.
I don't like the idea of having to watch something within a certain amount of time, because if you're, you know, if what's going on in your world changes, then you may have just wasted those few dollars. It's not a very forgiving.
You don't make the investment. I mean, at least it's not like a where you have pay them. I mean, then there's the other half.
Right, the monthly fees.
The
right.
monthly fees where I had one movie for like a month and a half, and then I knew I was never going to watch it, so I sent it back, and now I've had this other movie for like a week and a half. So for the last almost 2 months, I've paid the monthly fee both months and haven't watched a single movie.
Right.
But which, see, by the way, the movie I have right now I'm anxious to see. I have The Informant with Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That looks good. But, you know, you can also... Part of that is your fault because you can also put it on hold if you're too busy.
Part of this is your fault. You could watch the rest of the movie in 48 hours. Are you Jack Bauer that in that 48 hours you'll be like saving the world?
Maybe.
No, you're not.
Really? Do you know that for sure?
Yes.
No, you don't.
Absolutely
Have
sure.
Have you seen my man bag?
Oh,
have you heard me say damn it?
Which direction do I go with that?
Please not that one. And finally, the San Francisco Chronicle published a really great article on how long it would actually take for hybrid cars to pay off in fuel savings versus the increased cost of them. Because, mm-hmm. you know, a Prius is a lot more expensive than a lot of their other low-end cars.
Right.
As an example. The Prius was actually the second worst in the list. It would take you 20 years to recoup your gas costs versus the cost of the car compared to a gas-only car like the Toyota Yaris. The Ford Fusion Hybrid was the clear winner in this roundup. It would only take 5.6 years to recoup versus the non-hybrid Fusion. And it was the only car on the list that would recoup its cost differential in less than 10 years.
But isn't another plus to the Prius and the Ford Fusion Hybrid, isn't the other plus like the emissions in that?
Supposedly.
I mean, isn't it better for the environment?
Supposedly. Right. You know.
But you're not buying,
Well, it depends on whose paper you're reading.
Okay. Right now I'm reading your paper. You handed it to me.
Right. But I'm just saying there are arguments on both sides of it.
Okay.
No, I mean, it should be a lot better for the environment to drive a hybrid. Should be.
Right.
But I don't know that that's been proven.
Okay.
Maybe it has been. I just don't know. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying I don't know.
Before we get to best and worst, do we want to talk about me playing with the iPad yesterday?
Can I have a triple worst this week? go ahead.
Well, let me give you the setup. So I went to the Apple store because now at this point, my battery is so drained on my phone yeah. that I have to charge it like three or four times. Yesterday, I took a couple pictures with the with my phone
yeah.
and it was fully charged, took a couple pictures with my phone and then sent it to a few people and the phone went dead.
Nice.
Yeah. So now I have to charge it like three or four times a day. In fact, most of the time it's plugged in. And I haven't been going to have the battery replaced because I assume the next phone is coming out in June.
Right.
And I want to wait for the next phone rather than spend the $70. But I'm going to end up spending the $70. And at that point, I can sell the phone to someone else anyway.
Don't you really think that you should strong arm them to replace it without charging you?
How do I do that?
Yell at them in front of the rest of their customers.
That's not my personality.
I know, but you should do it.
My personality.
I mean,
is,
really, don't you think for something that without a contract would cost $500 or $600, don't you think the battery should last more than a year? If it's not
yeah.
user replaceable, that's really crappy on their part.
Yeah.
You know.
Plus, they wouldn't fix it right there because they're like, "Oh, well, you have to make an appointment. I could put you on a standby list that'll take like, you know, a couple hours." And
see, that's what I mean.
I didn't want to do that.
Don't you think it's a really lousy situation
in
general?
But I'm kind of at their mercy, aren't I?
Again, lousy situation.
Yeah. But that's neither here nor there because I'm talking about the iPad.
Okay.
So while I'm in there and he's checking everything out for me, I go over. You know, they have all the iPads on display. And right. I went over and checked it
all
out.
All one of them?
And no, they had a whole row of them. And
but it's the same model. It's just
yes.
They got a bunch of them there.
And they had some apps already preloaded on it. So I played a little Plants vs. Zombies on it. I played a little something else. I looked at the iBooks. I looked at the word processor. And I have to say it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I watched a movie on it for a little.
Yeah.
It's pretty
cool. It's not widescreen, though, is it?
No.
No.
No, it puts letterbox.
Are they retarded over there? Everything is widescreen now. Why would they keep releasing new products without a 16:9 screen? I mean, what is wrong with these people?
I don't know.
Can I do my worst entertainment moment first? Because my worst entertainment moment is the entire company in existence of Apple. I am so mad at them right now.
But we want to thank you for hosting us on iTunes.
I'm so mad. They don't host it. We host it ourselves. They just link to it.
Okay.
Okay, so let's put that out there, first of all. Okay. They're not actually doing us any favors. I'm so mad at them. This whole iPhone 4G thing, going and having Jason Chen's computer seized. The whole thing, did you hear the story about how one of the iPad engineers had an email from his supervisor saying that, you know, you're not allowed to show this to anyone until after midnight on April 3rd. So after midnight on April 3rd, he showed it to Woz, who is still an Apple employee, and might I remind everybody, the guy who actually made all this stuff work at the beginning of that company's history. And the guy was fired. Because the one that he showed him had the 3G built in. Which was already public knowledge anyway.
Right.
Fired. Steve Woz played with the thing for all of 2 minutes. The guy, fired. In this economy, fired.
You should really go check it out, though.
No, I'm not going to check it out. And in fact, not only am I not going to check it out.
I knew that would set him off.
Not only am I not going to check it out, I am never purchasing anything made by that company ever again. As soon as my contract is up, I am ditching my iPhone as fast as I possibly can. I don't even care what's going to take its place at this point. I just refuse to give that company any more money. And the service on AT&T has gotten exponentially worse in the last couple of months. Have you noticed that?
No.
It's really bad. I have this weird thing that's happening now where at the beginning of every single call, the sound is like...
And then it's not the phone?
Well, it could be the phone. Either I don't really care whose fault it is. It's just crap. It's crap and it's terrible and I'm sick of it. And they're just a horrible, awful company. Horrible. Like you said, you're at their mercy. Mercy. It's ridiculous that a $600 device that runs on batteries, you can't change the batteries, and if the battery dies, you have to pay them another more than 10% of the cost of that product to get the battery replaced. Ridiculous.
Yep. I know.
Apple is a horrible, awful company. They have turned into the antithesis of everything they started out to do when they were a young company, and it's disgusting, and I hate them. So there you go. Hate.
Wow.
Okay, your turn.
So I shouldn't bring in my new iPad next week then?
You can do whatever you want. I'm just saying I am not going to give them any more money.
What is my worst? I don't know. You went on such a rant. I don't even know what my worst is. And it's not going to be anywhere near as exciting as that. Oh, you know what mine is? Mine would probably have to be the Xbox game room. Xbox Live game room.
Yeah, just it sounds like a disappointment.
Every game I played, I only lasted like a few seconds. Like, there just wasn't the joy of like going to the arcade, playing in the cabinet, and just, you know, and then it's showing on my screen. Now, keep in mind, they're trying to keep the whole dimensions and everything.
Aspect ratio the same.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, on both sides of the screen is some little design, or like maybe it's the cabinet design. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so it just looks crappy, and the controls are crappy, and like.
See, you know what?
I don't know. It just sounded like such a cool idea. And I'm not, you know, I understand that it's. They're trying to be purists about it.
Right.
So they're just putting up the game exactly as it is.
But you need a controller that also retains that purity.
Right, but I'm not going to spend that.
No.
Not for something that here, I just want it to be a quick little diversion from
more serious
gaming.
Did you happen to try Robotron? Because that would seem like a game
that
that's actually...
One. There are very few games available right now.
Okay.
There was Tempest. There was a lot of games I never even heard of.
How could you play Tempest with a 360 controller?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't even think of that. I guess you'd have to turn the analog in a circle.
That sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know what I would do if it was me working on this for the sides of the screen is put on what you would see if you were standing in front of the cabinet. So see the edges of the cabinet, and then like a couple games, like one on either side.
Yeah.
Even with like those screens going, because that was there was always stuff in your peripheral vision when you were at an arcade, right. You know, playing those games. And maybe even some smoke. They were always smoky. Because right. The guys who ran the arcades were always like Greek mafia members who were just like chain smoking.
Right.
At least around here.
Right. It certainly was. I mean, right now, it was crazy. You and I have the exact same vision in our head.
I'm sure we're picturing the same guy.
Right.
What's the matter? You no got a watch? Hey, I put a quarter in there and it ate my quarter. No, I was. You no put token in there. Remember that? The accusations were flying.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
okay. They're laundering money in the back room.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like nonstop.
Might as well have been printing it with how much money was being pumped into those machines all the time. I mean, Kevin Flynn said it best in Tron. Forget it. Never mind.
What is it? No. I mean, you prefaced it.
Well, he said, you know, the kids are putting 10 million quarters a week into Paranoid's machines, and he wasn't seeing a dime of it, man. And somewhere in one of these memories is the evidence.
Yeah. Maybe it was best that you stopped.
Here's what I want to know. How could the world's best computer programmer not know what a quote-unquote memory is? Yeah. That doesn't seem likely.
Hopefully they fix that.
In the next one. I can't wait for that movie. I'm really excited for that. Yeah. I hope it's going to be good.
It's been a long time coming.
It has been a long time. Okay. Thank you, Burt Reynolds. I don't know.
Thanks, Hooper.
Well, our best is the same best.
It is.
We actually have the same best. Again.
In between the break here, I had I wanted Lou to see what my best was, so I showed him a clip. It's actually a clip from Saturday Night Live.
And is now my best.
It was last week's. Who was the host? See? I can't remember who the host was. Well, it doesn't matter. It was last week's Saturday Night Live. And there was a little thing on the Weekend Update where they had Stefan, who was the city correspondent, who was to give like tourist attractions to people visiting New York. But instead, he's some kind of like gay club kid who's talking about his favorite clubs. And it's so funny.
Seriously, it's hilarious.
I'm not even going to like repeat any of the lines because I won't do it justice. So we're going to put a link to the Hulu video of it.
Right. Just go watch it because it is hilarious.
It is the funniest thing that's been on Saturday Night Live. And it's so funny that they lose it in the sketch.
Right. They couldn't even keep a straight face. Probably the funniest thing I've seen since the first Debbie Downer with Lindsay Lohan.
Right. Right. Where they lost it as well. You know what? That harkens back to, you know, the whole Carol Burnett show and just how funny that was.
Right.
But we'll post it, watch it. Funniest thing on Saturday Night Live, definitely all year.
In a long time.
God, I wish I could remember who the host was. But it's irrelevant.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Oh, Gabourey Sidibe. That's who it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was she precious?
Sure.
Okay. Did you watch the whole episode?
Yeah. The rest of it was bad.
Oh. She wasn't funny?
You know what? I like her personality.
She seems like a nice kid.
Yeah, and she pretty much, I mean, she's not shy, which I like. I mean,
yeah.
Because, you know, you would think maybe she gets picked on or something and that she's very, like, you know, insecure, but she's not insecure at all.
She didn't come across that way at the Oscars because I saw a little bit of her on the Oscars.
She's very, bubbly. She's very sure of herself,
very bubbly.
Bubbly, and, like, you know, she seems comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, which is refreshing.
It is refreshing.
But, please watch this clip. Go to pause.
It's so funny. It's so funny.
Hysterical.
Well, thank you again to the people who wrote in and keep those emails coming. We love to get them.
We want your Pixar lists.
We do. Yes. Send us your lists of your three favorite and least favorite Pixar movies in order.
Right.
And anything else you want to write to us about, and we'll talk about it on next week's shows. Don't forget to visit us on Facebook and send those emails to podcast@pause.com. And as always, we will see you next week.
Bye.